있으니까.
Morning, Redemption. So I'm Byron Smith, or as Scott told you last week, sometimes family and friends call me Barn. Just grew up with the mispronunciation of my name, but hey, it's great to be here. I'm thrilled that I get to deliver this sermon. And first, I want to thank all of you for coming out on a beautiful July morning. Like I get it, especially when there's a guest speaker. In fact, this morning, kind of nudged my wife, Carla, and said, you know what, maybe we should just sleep in. I hear there's a guest speaker, so maybe we'll just sleep in. And, you know, she rolls over and she tells me, yeah, I've heard him speak several times. He's not very good, so. But she had to make brownies this morning for the dessert auction, so we're here, and I would encourage you to, has caramel goodness in it, to go after it. So I'm gonna try to right the ship. I'm gonna pray for us, and then we're gonna get into the sermon. Dear Lord, I just thank you, God, that you allow us to not only approach the throne with confidence, God, but that you encourage us, Lord. You desire to have communion with you, Lord, through prayer. And God, I just ask that today you would give me the right words to speak your truth, Lord, and that you would move in the hearts and the minds of those that would hear your word today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if you've ever heard me give a sermon, I always like to give a context of the sermon so that you know where my heart is and from where the context of the sermon has come. And so before April, when the elders reached out asking if I'd be the guest speaker, in July, it had been what I would say is probably one of the hardest several months leading up to that for me. So several months ago, my dad was diagnosed with stage 4 brain cancer, and we lost him to that. My mom was diagnosed with, this was much easier in my mind when I was thinking about it. My mom was diagnosed with dementia, and we've seen that progressively take hold and start to change, you know, her personality and what she remembers. Work has probably been some of the stressful, most anxiety-ridden time for me. And I would say more days than not, I've struggled with depression, which is a new occurrence for me. And in that time, I would say I've had prayers that either went unanswered or the answer was just flat out no. Or I felt like God was calling us in a certain direction only to have, like, the door slammed in front of us. And so when April came along and the elders reached out and said, hey, would you like to do this? In all honesty, my spiritual life had started to wane. And so I texted my wife and I said, you know what, I don't think I should do this. I don't think my spiritual walk is good enough. I don't think I'm in the right place. And to be honest, there was a part of me that said, God, I'm going to thumb my nose at you. You're not giving me what I want, so I know you want me to do this, but I'm not going to. And my wife, being the wise sage that she is, she responded. And she said, well, why don't you pray about it? When you come home, we'll pray about it. We'll talk about it. And then make your decision. You don't need to do it now. And so I'm in a conference room in a meeting, and I'm doodling. Maybe I should be taking notes, and that would make work less stressful. But I'm doodling. And all of a sudden, just out of the blue, I write, the power of prayer. And under that, I write, the Lord's Prayer. And so I'm like, oh, dope. All right, God. So I text my wife, and I said, you know what? I'm gonna do a sermon on prayer. And I left the meeting, and I had a little conversation with God. And I said, okay, God, I'm going to dive into my prayer life. I'm going to dive into the Bible. I'm going to dive into other sources on prayer. And what comes out of that is what I'm going to give a sermon about. As raw as that's going to be, that's what I'm going to do. And so that's my context today for just giving you some background on where I'm coming from on this this sermon. The first slide, though, I want to bring up, I'm going to shift gears a little bit. It's a little bit more lighthearted, which is a few types of prayer. So one of the things I discovered is like, well, how am I praying? And how do I see others often pray? And so if we can bring up the list, so I've come up with a few nicknames. One is a shotgun, which is a what I see is a rapid-fire prayer covering all topics. And this was me going to work, just, you know, God, I pray for my wife, I pray for my kids at school, I pray for their gym teacher that they'd be nice today, Lord. You know, it was just a do-do-do-do-do. And I'm always amazed because some people can say, you know, I pray for my sister's, you know, friend who has a cat that's sick, you know, in regroup. I'm just amazed at, like, where all these come from. But that's one. And then I take it to a new level when I'm driving, which is shotgun style with distraction. So I'll be driving along and like, God, I pray for my wife and kids. Oh, that's a nice car. Speaking of cars, I need my car to run smoothly, God, so I don't have to get a new one. And speaking of smoothies, there's a McDonald's right there. So let me just go in there. So not the best way to pray. The next one is sticking with the gun theme, a sniper rifle, which you pray for your enemies and those who persecute you, but your heart is not really right. It's much more, you know, God, I got this person at work that drives me nuts, and I have a meeting with them today. I wouldn't mind if they were kind of ill, you know, not deathly ill, but just a little bit. So the next one is trial. And I think this one's kind of more serious, but it's definitely what I think I tended to do when I was in a trial, is when I'd go to God in prayer. So if you don't know my family situation, we have four kids going through driver's ed. I have never spent more time in a passenger seat, white-knuckled, praying in my life. So we got that going on for us. And then we have Hail Mary. This is, I think, great for the U.S. What we do is we work through a problem till the very end and realize, yeah, I'm stuck. And so, you know, that's when we go to God in prayer. And this final one is the get out of jail free card. And this is when you know you've done something or said something really stupid and you need an out. I had this situation. In fact, I didn't have this on the list until the other day when I had this situation. So my wife had started her day at like 4:30 in the morning because she had to teach CrossFit at 5:30. And then she had to drive one of the kids to Sultan later that morning. And then she had football camp and soccer carpool. Anyway, she didn't get home till like 9 o'clock. And she walks in the door and I say, hey, honey, look, I washed the dishes for you. To which she responded, oh, you washed the dishes for me. You did that for me. And so I'm like, no, yeah, I don't even know if I washed the dishes now. And so, you know, I'm immediately praying, like, please let my kids do or say something more stupid than I did. So sure enough, one of the daughters comes downstairs and she's like, hey, Mom, can you pick up so-and-so tomorrow and take us to the river? And I'm just like, yes. So I got out of trouble there. But in all honesty, my sermon today isn't going to be on kind of the how we pray. I think some of these are certainly right at times. Some are definitely wrong. But some are right. But that's not my heart is to share necessarily the how. I would say if you're struggling with the how you approach God in prayer, turn to Matthew 6, and Jesus lays it out for you. I'd also say there's some great podcasts or literature on using the Lord's Prayer or Acts, ACTS, as your construct for prayer. So I'd give you a homework assignment to do that. But that really wasn't my struggle, honestly, going into this. My struggle was more about the why. Why do we pray? God's will is going to be God's will, right? So why do we pray? And especially when we know sometimes the answer is no. And so that's what I want to focus on today is why we pray. So the first thing that, as I really dug into this, came to mind, so if we can bring up the first one, is there's power in prayer. Now, the first thing I did is looking through the Bible is look up instances where prayer made a difference in a powerful way. And in fact, Matt spoke about it the other day in Exodus, where Moses stands between the Israelites and God during the golden calf issue and changes God's mind not to wipe them out. means specifically communion with God, changed God's mind on how to handle the Israelites on that particular instance. There's Peter in Acts. He's in prison, and the church prays consistently for him, and an angel comes and releases him.